Ezekiel chapter 22, this morning, Ezekiel chapter 22. In the Old Testament, you go to Psalms, Proverbs, turn a few chapters over, and you'll come to Ezekiel. If you made it to Daniel, you've gone just too far. Turn back one book, and that's Ezekiel. And if you found Ezekiel chapter 22, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2. I'll read verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 22. If you'll join with me on verse 2 this morning of Ezekiel 22, verse 1 and 2, and I'll read verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, shalt show her all her abominations. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading. So we come this morning to open our King James Bible to hear from the Word of God. Lord, just a blessing it is to be in church this morning. Thank you so much for your mercies and your grace that's renewed every day. Lord, we pray that you be with the preaching. Lord, I pray you be with our preacher. Pour Holy Spirit anointing power upon him as he brings the Word. Lord, I pray that under the sound of the voice, Lord, the Holy Spirit just meet with us today. Be with the special. Prepare our hearts for the message. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord still reigns forever upon high. Lift his praise up to the sky. Oh, raise your voice and sing the joyful song that our God still reigns. Our God still reigns.
To the God of righteousness we will sing today. At his feet we'll worship him as we humbly pray. God the Father sent his Son, mankind to redeem. He laid down his life for all, now he reigns supreme.
The Lord still reigns forever upon high. Lift his praise up to the sky. Oh, raise your voice and sing the joyful song that our God still reigns. Our God still reigns.
Jesus Christ, the Savior, lives. He rose from
thank you, folks. I appreciate that good song. One of these Sundays, I'm going to just stand up and sing with that group. I don't think anybody know the difference. Amen. Well, maybe you will. Maybe I would ruin it. But that was good singing this morning, and appreciate that. I want to speak on this subject, and believe me, this is a Mother's Day message. I know when you get to Ezekiel 22, you're thinking, where is Mom in here? Okay. And I know I'm not showing her all her abominations this morning. All right. But I will get to moms here in a moment, and I want to speak on that subject, majoring on mom, majoring on mom. And I'll show you this from the Scripture today. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing. Lord, thank you for the good service. Thank you for all the dear mothers here this morning. Now I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and Lord, as we contemplate our relationship with the woman that we call mom, the mom you gave us, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to learn something today or be challenged in our hearts to improve it or do better, or maintain it as it may be. We'll thank you for it. Help me, I pray, in Christ's name. And amen. Ezekiel preached during the captivity of Israel. His preaching ministry began 7 years before the complete destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And it ended about 15 years after that date, for a total of about 22 years of preaching ministry. All of that took place in the land of Babylon. Okay, he was taken from Jerusalem in the second invasion by King Nebuchadnezzar and placed over there. And that's where he did his preaching. Now, over in Babylon, God gave Ezekiel sermon after sermon to preach to the people of Judah who were in captivity with him. And you can divide his messages into two basic categories. Number one, he preached about the glory lost. And then he preached about the glory regained. You see, before Israel and Judah's demise, as one nation, they were set at the very pinnacle of all nations, glorious and mighty above all others. And by the way, friend, glorious and mighty not only in material possessions, but not only because of their wealth and prosperity, because the eternal God, Jehovah, blessed them with His presence. His presence came at Solomon's temple, that magnificent and wonderful building. And God's presence came there. And it was a glorious thing. A glorious thing. The shame of it is it didn't last. They lost that glory. And they've still lost it as a nation today. They've still lost that glory. But it will be regained. Amen. It's not lost forever. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come back to this earth. I don't mean in the rapture. I mean in the revelation. He's coming all the way from the right hand of the Father to put His feet on planet earth, friend. And when He does, He's going to walk through the eastern gate of that temple and He's going to sit on the throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And the glory of the Lord will return to the nation of Israel in the entire earth. So while Israel is in captivity because of their sin and their glory is lost, He wants to remind them that it's not lost forever. It will be regained. Now, in Ezekiel 22, this is one of the messages about the glory lost. This is why you lost your glory, okay? Now, let me say this. God did not remove His glory from His people undeservedly. They were guilty of several heinous sins, sins that God had warned them about, told them the consequences, what the consequences were, sins that were an abomination in the sight of God, okay? And that's a heavy word, folks. That word abomination is a very strong word. Now look at this message, look beginning here at verse 1 and 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city, talking about Jerusalem, yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. So God said, Ezekiel, I'm giving you a message. This is about the glory lost. This is about what Jerusalem is and why they have become like they are and why the glory is lost. And he begins in verse number 3, listing these heinous sins that he called an abomination down through these verses. In verses, we're not going to study all of them, but in verses 3 through 6, he talks about the sin of murder. Shedding blood, the guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed. Verse 4. In verses 3 through 4, he talks about idolatry. You get the very end of verse 3. And maketh idols against herself, pardon me, to defile herself. In verse 7, he talks about oppression and extortion. Okay, oppression. And they have dealt by, and they have And thee, in the midst of thee, have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee, they vexed the fatherless and the widow. So they got the sins of oppression and extortion. In verse number 8, they have profaned the holy. You see that in verse number 8. And by the way, that's what happened. Now, this is what's happened in our society today. We have profaned the holy. You know what? You know what's under attack in this country? The church is under attack. Christianity is under attack. They're profaning the holy in this country. They did it in Israel, in Judah in those days. In verse number 9, there was uncleanness and lewdness, okay? And talks about it in verse number 10 and 11. Look at verse number 11. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. And another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. So these unclean and lewd relationships, they were practicing these in Judah. And then in verse number 12, he says at the very end of verse number 12, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Unmindful of God. Now, you've got all of these sins. That is a pretty daunting list of sins. We would not call that list lightweight sins. We would call those heavyweight sins. Okay? And God said the glory is lost because of these sins. The glory is lost because of murder. And the glory is lost because of oppression and extortion. And the glory is lost because of idolatry. And the glory is lost because you've profaned the holy. And the glory is lost because of uncleanness and lewdness. And because you've forgotten me. The glory is lost. But I want you to see that I passed over one. I passed over a sin that is listed with all the others. Look at verse number 7. Look at what Ezekiel was told to say. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In thee have they set light by father and mother. Now, I like what Matthew Henry wrote about that statement. He wrote, those that set light by their parents are in the highway to all wickedness. I thought that was a powerful statement. Those that set light by their parents are in the highway to all wickedness. I mean, right here in the middle of this big long list of what you and I would call heinous sins, murder and idolatry and extortion and oppression and profaning the holy and uncleanness and lewdness and forgetting God, right in the middle of it, it's quite revealing that in the middle of this list, that God puts in this passage, He says, you treated your parents poorly. You treated your parents poorly. That's part of the reason why the glory is lost. You have treated your parents poorly. Now, friend, that's stunning. And this is not the only place that God puts mistreatment of parents right along with other horrible matters. Don't turn to it, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul starts talking about this. Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he starts listing the characteristics of the perilous days. And you can read through again a very long list of things that just, you know, make you blush and turn your head. And right in the middle of that list is this: disobedient to parents. So God considers our relationship with our parents to be really important. Now watch it. When you and I set light by father and mother, when we take that relationship lightly, when we mistreat our dad and mom, it displeases Him badly. In Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16, He said this: cursed be he that setteth light by his father or mother. Now, do you put that passage together here with the one in Ezekiel? He's talking about the glory lost. In Deuteronomy, he warned them, cursed be he that setteth light by his mother and father. And here he says, the glory is lost because you set light by, verse number 7, you set light by father and mother. Now, friend, if that is a sin, and it is, that God is upset with, my question today for me and you is, how can we personally avoid that? By the way, our nation is given over to that sin entirely as well. But God's people shouldn't be. God's people should not be given over to that. If setting light is the sin, then we better consider how we can be heavy in our relationship with our parents. If I don't want to take light my mother, If I don't want to take like my father, because God considers that an abominable, horrible sin along the lines of murder and oppression, extortion, etc., etc., I don't want to be guilty of setting light by my dad and my mom. I'd like to know how to be heavy in that relationship, all right? And today being Mother's Day, I think it would be an excellent occasion to think on how to avoid treating mom lightly. How do you put a heavy priority on your relationship with your mother? How do you do that? And by the way, let me say this morning before I start into just the 3 points, simple points. Mother's Day, I understand, is not the happiest occasion for some people. I understand that. For some people, mom is already gone. And while other people are buying things and celebrating Mother's Day and happy with that moms are with them or visiting mom, your mom is already gone and you don't have that connection with mom here on earth anymore. And it's a little bit a lump in the throat day for you. I understand that. For some people, in some rare circumstances, they had a mom that was not a very good mom. Maybe a mom that was an abusive mom. Maybe a mom that was given over to alcohol. Maybe a mom that walked out, never to return into your life again. And I understand, Mother's Day puts a lump in your throat as well. By the way, if you got a good mom, you better be real, real thankful for a good mom. And don't be light on it. Don't set light by it. That's an abomination. More than one place in the Scripture. I told the class upstairs a little while ago, you can't build a teaching on one verse of Scripture. And not building a teaching on one verse of Scripture. All throughout the Bible, God puts a premium on our relationship with our parents. Relationship with dad and mom. I know Mother's Day is not the happiest occasion. For some, mom might be here physically, but disease has taken her mind and she doesn't know you. That happened to both of my grandmothers, my dad's mom and my mom's mom. Both of them were there physically, but their mind was gone. And when dad and mom would go to see them, they didn't know who they were. And that's sad. Sad when a child is not recognized by their own mother. Okay, but for most of us in this room this morning, Mom's Day is a very happy occasion. And my question is, how can we put the heavy on this relationship? And the things I'm going to suggest will work if you are still at home under your mom's care, or if you've already settled out on your own and mom still lives somewhere on planet Earth. These things will work and help us put the heavy on our relationship with our mothers and not take them lightly. Number one this morning, be mindful of the past. Be mindful of the past. And when I mentioned that this morning, I'm saying specifically this. I'm talking about the past that we did not know or weren't aware of. You say, now, Pastor, how in the world, how is it possible to be mindful of things we did not know? How can you be mindful of things that we were not aware of? Let me say this today. There are not many offspring born into this world who are as helpless as human offspring. Y'all with me this morning? Not many offspring born into this world who are as helpless as human offspring. In the animal kingdom, many offspring are expected to fend for themselves in some way, and if they don't, they die. I was out in Iowa. Of course, a lot of livestock out in Iowa. That's was one thing different about moving here. A lot of grain out here, big fields, but not as much livestock where we live up in this area. But out in Iowa, there was tons and tons of livestock, cows, pigs, turkeys, so forth. And one day, I was out making some visits in rural and the country roads, the gravel roads, and was not too far from Ardeen Lewis farm. And so I thought, well, I'm in the area. I'm going to pop in and just say hello to Ardeen and Rosemary, see how they're doing. And so I popped into the house. Nobody was home. I left a little note saying that I was there. And then I pulled up away from their house. Maybe a couple here remember where they live, down a little holler there. And I pulled up out of the lane and was pulling up out of the gravel road that led away from their house. And Ardeen owned the property on both sides of the road. And he had cattle. And I was just minding my own business driving. Happened to glance to my left into one of the pastures. And here was a cow just finishing giving birth to a calf. I stopped because that was interesting to me. I like animals. Okay, some alive, some dead, but I like animals, amen? And I like animals. So here, I mean, right here is this cow, and she has just given birth, and I won't go into all the details of it. Some of you know what that's all about. Just given birth, and she is getting to her feet, little calf laying on the ground there. She's getting to her feet, and I watched in amazement as she stood to her feet, that mother cow stood to her feet, and walked away a few feet from that little calf. Walked away. I was watching the whole thing. I watched that little calf struggle and struggle and struggle. Some of you have seen that, the old wobbly legs, and try to get up and fall and try to get up and fall and try to get up and fall two or three times. And finally, that little calf got the strength up on those wobbly legs, and then he made his way over to where his mother was, and he began to find the place to get some good old cow's milk. Amen. Not homogenized or pasteurized. Amen. Straight from the cow, the best kind of you can get. Huh? And boy, he began to eat, and that mother began to lick on that calf and clean it up and take care of it. But you know, the honest truth of the matter is, that calf was left to itself to fend for its well-being with mom standing right over there. Now listen, when you and I were born, we had to have care, or we would have died. And who was the one that more than likely provided that care? Who provided that love? Who provided that attention? And you know well who it was. It was Mom. Mom gave unbelievable care. Mom gave unbelievable attention. Mom gave unbelievable love. And you and I were not even aware of it. I'll tell you when you will be aware of it, when you have your own someday. I got one out in Iowa learning exactly what all that means right now. Learning exactly what it means to have a baby attended to, you know, and all I know, and boy, you won't know until you have your own. I'm talking about the times in the middle of the night when you and I were hungry and we needed to be fed, and somebody got out of bed and gave us something, good old milk to drink, and took care of us. I'm talking about, I don't mean to be graphic and I don't mean to be rude. And I won't be crude, but I'm talking about when you and I needed to be changed. Or stay in an unchanged condition. And somebody cleaned us up. Now, the next time any of you fellas get the temptation to get smart with your mother. You just remember there was a day you couldn't even clean yourself. You couldn't even clean yourself. If it wasn't for, I'm not talking about just a bath either. You couldn't clean yourself. I'm talking about times when in the middle of the night, a little whimper from a crib or a bassinet brought a mother flying out of a bed somewhere who was dog-tired when she went to bed. But the littlest whimper brought her out of the bed and over to the crib or the bassinet and put the little, and looked in there, and here is a mess where the child got, you or me, we got sick and excuse me, but vomited in the little bassinet or the crib, and the vomit was on our head, and Mom touched our heads and oh my goodness, and felt the fever and had to clean the vomit out of our hair. You say you're being awful graphic. Yeah, but I'm talking about why we ought not set light by Mom. Somebody cleaned you up. Took you to the bathroom and put a little warm water in the tub because your fever was 103, 104, and began to add a little cool water and got a washcloth and began to sponge you down because it was the middle of the night. They wanted to call the emergency room, called the doctor, and added cold water until finally there was a cold bath and just bathed and sponged and bathed and sponged and rocked. And I'm talking about, we had one with whooping cough, and in the middle of the night, the whooping cough sets in and the eyeballs roll back in the head and the child passes out. You know, some of us had mom, many of us, all of us had a mom that cared for us to some degree when we didn't even know it. We weren't even aware. That's why it's important to set heavy by Mom. Don't shed light on mom. Major on mom. I'm talking about the woman who had to take care of a husband, the woman who had to take care of a house, the woman who had to take care of other children. And more often than not, her own needs were placed behind or below all the needs of others in her family. And she worked herself to the bone to take care of us. And we didn't even know it. It is safe to say that in almost every case in this room, and maybe every case in this room, we are alive today because mom cared for us when we were not even aware. Reckon you ought to put heavy with mom? Major on mom. She would just reckon she should be remembered for that. Reckon she should be remembered and honored now for all that she did. Then. And young ladies, don't wait until you have your own offspring and get introduced to how much care and work it takes to take care of a child. Think now about being a child and realize what mom did. Young men, realize what mom did when you weren't even aware of it. All of us that have a living mom on earth should major on mom because of the past that we weren't even aware of. Y'all with me this morning? Number two. Be mindful of the present. Be mindful of the present. We can remember to do a few things now that will make her day. I'm talking about calls, phone calls. Listen, it amazes me that we have more avenues to make phone calls now than we've ever had. And yet moms still don't get called. You ought to have a routine. At least once a week, if not more than that, a routine, a place, a time where every week on a certain day at a certain time, your phone is calling mom if she's nearby or if she's far away and just say, moms love to hear the phone ring, pick it up and hear the word mom. My mother can tell you how my greeting differs from Tim's and how both of ours differed from Tom when he was still alive. She said, Terry, you'll call, and Tim will call and say, hi, Mom. And I forget what it is. She'll say, you'll call and go, what's going on, Mom? And that's what I always do. She loves to hear that. Mom loves to hear your voice on the other end of the phone. Cards with Mom's name and delivered on at times other than just Mother's Day. Special occasions, small gifts, and if at all possible, visits. Visits. I never get upset when people in our church are gone on Mother's Day. Unless they're at the Arlington racetrack or something like that, it'd be different. They watch next year, everybody will be gone. We'll be out here, Brother Bragg. But in 23 years here, I have never fretted at anybody who said, I'm not going to be here next weekend. We're going to see Mom. Some in this room have made trips to see parents, arrived back home, and in 24 hours gotten a phone call that one of the parents was gone. You never know when that last opportunity to see Mom is. Make a visit. And if she's in a nursing home, go see her. Go see her. You say, well, she doesn't know I'm there. It doesn't matter. She might know more than you think. Go see her. I visit from time to time one of our shut-in ladies at a nursing home, and invariably, she'll say, my son's not been to see me. She has one son. My son's not been to see me. My son's not been to see me. She's not bitter. She's not ugly. But she is brokenhearted. And I say, don't set light in your relationship with your mom. Hey, even when moms are a little overbearing, and they can be that way, even when moms can be they can be meddlesome, they should be treated well. Now, they may have to be told, Mom, let me take care of this. This is my business. But they don't have to be forgotten. And I want to say something this morning. A mom will always be a mom. You can't change that. That means she's going to be concerned. She's going to be interested. She's going to be worried. She's going to be nervous. And she will always be a mom. Always. Now, I've contended down through the years that dads and moms love all of their children, but there is a special relationship between dad and daughters and between mom and sons. Always have contended that. It's not that moms don't love their daughters. It's not that dads don't love their sons. But with dads and boys, it's a man thing, okay? A man, young man thing. But a dad and his daughter, man, it's like, it's just a different relationship. And a mom with her daughters, it's a female thing, a girl thing. But with her sons, it's like, well, he's a prince. And when he gets married, he's still a prince. Now, you wives know that he's not. But she still thinks he is. And guess what? You ain't going to change that. Be okay with it. Look, sometimes I'll call mom on the speakerphone. I don't do that as much as I used to, but I used to call her on the speakerphone. We're sitting around, Joyce, me, you know. And a mom is a mom. And I'll call her today. Mom, what's going on? Well, hey, Terry, how you doing? Hey, we talked for a little bit. Oh, pray for Tim. Poor Tim. Bless Tim's heart. Oh, the poor. I feel so sorry for that. I feel sorry for Tim. Mm-hmm. I've been where Tim lives. I've been in Tim's vacation house. I've been in Tim's boat. I don't feel sorry for Tim at all. I don't feel sorry for Tim. I feel so sorry for Tim. He's traveling to Istanbul. And when he gets done with Istanbul, he's got to go down over to Cairo. When he gets in Cairo, he's got to go over here. I just feel so sorry for him. I talked to her this morning and she said, I'm going to go over to Tim's and have a steak. Poor thing. Got in last night at midnight. Poor thing. Got in at midnight last night. And so sometimes she'll say, well, how you been? Well, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this. Oh, you poor thing. And my wife's going, she's over there. But that's a mom. That's what moms do. And you're not going to change that. And let a mom be a mom. When your little son grows up someday and takes a bride, you're going to look at him as this poor thing. Yeah. Now look, all I'm simply saying this morning is, look, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it. And I'm reading this horrible, long list of wicked, unbelievable abominations. And right smack dab in the middle of it, God said, part of the reason the glory's lost is because you set light by your dad and mom. You didn't major with your parents. Be mindful of the past. Be mindful of the present. A mom is always a mom. Love her and treat her well. Calls, visits, a card, special occasions. Don't forget mom. And then number three, this morning, be mindful of the future. Even Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross, was mindful of his mother's future. He looked out and he told mom as she stood there with the beloved disciple John, woman, behold thy son. Then he looked at John and he said, behold thy mother. Now watch this. The Bible says in chapter 19, from that very hour, John took her home. He cared for the mother of Jesus Christ. And it may be that some of us will need to care for our moms in the future. And I know many cases represented in this room this morning where people have displayed unbelievable devotion and commitment and love in taking care of an aged parent. And I say amen to that. But be mindful in another way, friend. Someday, if the normal sequence of life takes place, mom will be gone. And you don't want any regrets then. And if you don't want any regrets then, you have to set heavy by mom now. set heavy by mom now. Be mindful of the future. You don't want to have horrible regrets then. I know I forget years ago, and I mean years ago, hearing Brother Davis, when he was pastoring in Lincoln, Illinois, tell a story about a girl in his town. I do not remember if the girl went to his church, if the girl was in their school, or if the girl just lived in Lincoln. I don't remember. But the girl was in their area. And dad was either dead or gone. It was just mom and a couple of kids. And she had the teenage girl. She had, I think, a younger child. And she's doing her very best, working her fingers to the bone to provide for the family. And I believe they were in some church because she was trying to keep them in church and trying to keep things on the level spiritually. And the girl came down from upstairs and dressed for school. And when she came down, she was dressed in such a way that mom said, "You're not leaving the house like that. Go upstairs and change." And if you have a mom with that much insight and discernment and concern, thank God. And the girl got mad, stomped up the steps. It was breakfast time. Turned and stomped up the steps and went to her bedroom and could be heard screaming, "I hate you," slammed the door. Changed her clothes, came back down. Mom had some food on the table. "You want breakfast?" She never spoke to her mother. She stomped. Either she said, "I hate you," upstairs, or she said, "I hate you," as she was leaving the house. One of the things, the last thing she said to her mother was, "I hate you." Of course, mom was brokenhearted. That girl went to school and was in about the second or third class of the day when a knock came on the classroom door and the principal of the high school was standing there and called her name and said, "I need you to come with me for a moment." Took her to his office and sat her down and said, "I really hate to tell you this, but your mom left for work a little while ago, was in a bad accident. She's been killed." They said, S.M. Davis said, you could hear that girl's screams all through the high school. Wailing. The funeral was a horrible, horrible thing. Because the last thing she ever said to her mom was, "I hate you." You got to be mindful of the future. You don't want to have any regrets. You know, I talked a few weeks ago about restoring relationships. That message that I preached after I heard Brother Fox's last message on Sunday morning, getting ready to go. And I preached a message on, you know, before you leave, get your relationships restored. And I'm glad to have heard from a couple of different family groups in the church, some within, some without, that really worked on restoring some of the relationships that had been kind of broken. And I'll promise you, friend, you'll never regret that. You'll never regret that. What you will regret is if you're prompted by the Holy Spirit over and over and over again, over and over and over again, to make things right with, specifically this morning, mom, or improve the relationship with mom, and you just don't do it, and the day comes that you get the phone call, then it's too late. You say, "What have I done? What have I done?" Is mom saved? Is mom saved? Then take her the gospel. Tell her how to be saved. Tell her you love her. You say, "Mom will get mad at me." Listen, some years ago, this is back in the early 80s now, when Brother Jim Blaylock was down at the church in Tennessee as the youth director, and in his youth group was Matthew Mark, or in the church was Matthew Mark Luke John Wilkerson. Mark Wilkerson pastors down here in Rantoul, and John is the new pastor over here at First Baptist Church in Hammond. And Brother Blaylock asked me to come down and preach a teen camp. And so Brother Brown said I could go. I went down there. We had a teen camp, had a good week. I preached through Monday night through Thursday night and then drove home Friday. And on Thursday night, Brother Blaylock wanted testimonies after the last service. And some teenagers were giving testimonies about what God had done in their heart. And they were talking about good things. And this young lady stood up on the back row, just two sections of chairs in the little chapel there. And she stood up. She's sitting in the back row. And I thought she was an older teenager. In reality, she was a counselor. She had just finished her first year at Tennessee Temple. And she said, "I am not a teenager, but I am a counselor. And I've been here this week as a counselor." And she said some things about the messages. And I had talked about being a witness to your parents and so forth. And she said, "You know, I'll shorten it up." She said, "Mom got cancer. I'm the only one saved in my family. Mom got cancer, and I knew that I had to witness to Mom. I knew I had to." She said, Mom and I were alone in the house many occasions after that. Every time I would get ready to witness to Mom, a fear came over me and I just didn't do it. We thought she had several months. She went to the doctor. The doctor even said, you've got several months. She didn't have several months. She only had a few couple weeks. And not long after that doctor's visit, she went into a coma. They put her in one of those hospital beds in the home. And that woman began to cry. She said, you know, I was there in the house along with her. And I knelt down beside that hospital bed and said, Mom, if you can hear me, please, you've got to hear me. Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you. And you've got to trust Him as your personal Savior. You've got to be saved. And then she just shrieked. And I mean shrieked. I said, my mother is burning in hell because I didn't tell her about Christ. Now, what do you say after that? I didn't know what to say. I didn't have to. Brother Blaylock's leading the testimony time. I felt bad for him. What do you say after that? And that girl sobbed and sobbed. And listen, if you've got a mom loved you and cared for you and provided for you and took care of you and she is lost above all other things that you might do for Mom, don't forget to tell her. Don't forget to tell her about Jesus. You say, she'll get mad at me. I'm her son. I'm her daughter. Yeah, but you got the closest inroad as well. And she may not. I'm simply saying, I'm going to take Mother's Day today. I know it's not a deep theological message, but I'm going to tell you something. It'll keep us out of a lot of trouble with God if we major on Mom. Don't set light by your parents. Don't treat them lightly. Major on Mom. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention on this Mother's Day. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we pray and conclude the service. I wonder who would say today, Pastor, you know, I'm glad for the reminder this morning. I do have a great mom. Whether she's saved or not, you got a great mom. If she's mom and taking care of you, she's great. And I just appreciate the reminder. There are some areas in which I could do better. And I thank you for bringing that to my attention this morning. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart while you were preaching. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the room? Thank you so much. Keep it up just for a second. Yes, God bless you. Put your hands down. Find a time to call Mom. Find a time to put it in your weekly routine, something that you do on a weekly or a couple of times a week basis. Call her. See her. Think about what she did. Who else would say, Pastor, I need to be included in this prayer. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody else? God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Anybody else? All right. Who would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died now, I'm on my way to heaven. Glad I'm saved. And I don't mind saying that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. So many hands in the air. Appreciate it. Now, let me ask this question. Who is here today would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I am not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? You're not sure that you're saved? Would you let me pray for you this morning? Just raise your hand, put it up and right back down, and I'll just ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Anybody like that today? Eternity is a long, long time. All right. Is there anybody here today who would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? You've been saved, but not baptized. Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you in just a moment. All right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I'm going to pray here in just a moment. Father, would you please bless our time in your word this morning. Lord, help us not to set light by father and mother and not to set light by our parents. Lord, I pray that you'll be with each one of us with a living parent on earth somewhere. I pray, God, that we would make sure and major on that relationship. And Lord, help us to be mindful of the past, present, and future when it comes to especially our moms. Speak to our hearts about it. Help us to be diligent, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, I also ask that you'll save anybody who's lost here. I pray that you'll bring them to Christ through conviction, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name.